This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust, and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
This episode of Here for the Wrong Reasons is sponsored by The Trunk Club, the only clothing subscription service that sends you a monthly package of clothes found in the trunks of abandoned cars. Gang, we are back, and actually you thought we were going to be back home this week, but surprise, we are actually at Jed's recording studio in Nashville.
I'm in Gainesville, Georgia. I actually just attended a Sunday school session with Luke's crew.
We prayed over this podcast extensively. Boy gang, we're going to try to bring the energy tonight because last week sucked.
Snooze fest.
Ooh, literal snooze fest when we were yawning through the whole thing. Harper, I understand why you fall asleep during these now.
I don't want to offend any of our Pacific Northwest listeners, but I feel like Seattle puts me to sleep. It's gray. It's like 65 degrees there in July.
It was rainy.
Everybody's wearing a fucking North Face.
Our kids thought it was gonna snow.
Yes, they did.
Yeah. I will say,
oh, we recycle everything. We're so cool.
We actually, that episode we released was better than the one we tried to record at noon.
That
tells you something.
Yeah.
That one was a little snippier, but we're back. We're going to try to bring the energy up. We were like Jeb Bush.
We did a bunch last of coke time. Before yeah. this one, so we should be good to go.
No more super low tea. Ugh. Get close to the mic there. We've got a listener, Jack204, who said that we need to move the mic closer to Anna.
Jack, is this close enough?
Jack, can you hear us? Jack204.
I like it, Jack. I like it that you want to hear me loud and clear.
He said he didn't want to miss a word.
You're damn right, buddy.
Yeah. We also appreciate the constructive feedback. This is like when MJ told us to stop typing during our podcast, and that was a big, now we write things down.
Or when we got called out for calling that one girl black, or when we called her white.
Yes, when we misidentified the race of one of the women.
Who was that?
Katie Morton.
Katie, thank you.
Yeah. Well, and when this is relevant to this week's episode.
Call
when
we us got, out, readers.
When
listeners.
We got told to stop being assholes about the way that the family members look. We're not going to do that this time.
I'm not
hometown.
Commenting on anyone's looks except to say, and Ryan was on the fence about me even being able to say this, but I don't, it's not just her looks. Jed's sister looks like a bitch. You could just tell that she was going to be a butt about the whole thing.
Yeah, and was I think that she spoke the truth.
She looks like
I think
a,
she's one of society's great truth tellers.
She looked like a mean girl from like a late 90s Lifetime movie.
Oh.
She looked like she would be friends with that girl who was on Models, Inc., who was in all of the Lifetime movies. And they're like bitchy cheerleaders together.
So we've really followed
Cassidy,
our...
Cassidy Ray.
Oh, look at that.
I remember that without even Googling.
Yeah, we've really followed our goal of not commenting on the looks of the Bachelor families.
I'm not saying that it was just her physical looks. I think her whole aura just...
Her whole demeanor.
Look, she...
I think she was...
She a bitch.
She was...
Wearing that bodysuit.
She was the bitch that we need to see in the world. Telling Hannah it's not a good
She's
thing if
like
they fall
the
in love.
The girl who would write, "You are fat" on Candace Cameron Bure when she goes to the sorority house.
Someone wrote that on Candace Cameron Bure?
Actually, I think that was a Hilary Swank movie, but...
Somebody, that's mean.
Yeah, because they're, they're getting hazed. And then, spoiler alert, Six from Blossom falls off a building because she had to go out on a ledge and hang a flag for the sorority. And then that girl from Scrubs and How I Met Your Mother, what's her
name?
Oh,
yeah.
She, like, hides the whole thing.
That's an all-star cast.
And in the meantime,
good Lord.
Hilary Swank is boning Zach Morris because they both work for the newspaper.
Zach
and
Morris
she only
is in
pledged
this?
That sorority because her mom wanted her to.
This sounds like an amazing
really
movie. You know who else almost fell off a ledge and died? Under the influence of drink.
Who?
Steve Urkel.
And he launches his trademark, I've fallen and I can't get up, but he's dangling from a building.
I'm not going to laugh at that.
Well, he really does.
Okay.
That's his line. That's the cut to the commercial right there.
That's the first time he said it? Or
no, that's just one of the many iterations of it.
I don't want to do this. You want to give... my Lifetime movies are cool, but...
All right. We got the other two shout-outs. We got some really nice reviews. Jack gave us 5 stars despite our mic issues.
Thanks, Jack. Thanks, Jack. I'll speak up. I'm a notorious low talker. Ryan can't take me to loud restaurants. It's actually true.
We need to get a mic just for you, like a headset, like Time Life books.
I think I need to work on like my pitch or something.
Ooh, yeah.
Aren't I a low talker, though?
You are a low talker. Yeah, well, it's like you need to lean in. You need to really glean every word that you say. It's worth it. We've got nice reviews from Emery87 and Janus. And shout out, hey, when in Rome, shout out to our 4 Westlake Village, California listeners. I hope you enjoyed seeing your hometown.
That's where Peter's from. All I heard him say was like, I'm going to show you Westlake. And then I did not know where they actually were.
Yeah. Westlake Village.
We should have looked up our, I know we just decided to do it tonight because it was like, this is a great episode, but we should have looked up our viewers in each hometown.
No viewers in Jupiter.
Okay.
9 viewers
in Jupiter.
9 viewers in Nashville.
Okay, well, I mean, fuck you, Nashville.
And then what was
I'm
Luke
okay
P's?
With it being 9 as long as one of those viewers is Kristen Cavalieri.
Oh, of course she's listening. Yeah. Hey, Kristen, how you doing? And what's her husband's name?
BT Dubs, your husband is on my list.
Baby, never mind. You guys got to stop listening to this.
I love him.
What is his name?
What is his name?
Oh, he can't be on the list if you don't know his name.
He's a football Cutler. Jay Cutler.
Yeah. What was Luke's hometown?
Jay Cutler, I feel like, is like a dirtier, more sarcastic Tyler. I'm bringing it around.
Oh, all right. We're back to the show. We're right back on track again. And speaking of Tyler,
Gainesville, Georgia. Is that what you asked?
Yeah. We're on Peter's home date.
Okay.
Gainesville. Hold on. 2 listeners.
Shout out to
Luke's
our...
Luke's mom and dad.
Oh, I love this. Shout out to our 2 listeners in Odessa, Texas.
Yeah. Now, hold on. We don't need to do everybody. We're not going to blow our whole wad.
Ooh, we have 2 listeners in Stone Mountain, Georgia.
Yeah.
I love it. I would love it if we would hear from some of these shout-outers.
I know. Will you appreciate getting a shout-out? Let us know. Or if
we'll
you want us
you
to shout-out. Yeah, shout-out your hometown.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Give us a 5-star review and include in it where you're
from.
Oh,
yeah, and we'll shout it out.
If you'd like to
And
be.
You'll be the most popular person in your hometown.
And then this sister of Jed's is going to come and be a real bitch to you.
And then Candace Cameron Burr and 6 are going to come be mean to you too.
Yep.
All right.
Hannah says, this week is really important to see what it would be like to live life with this person. And then she says, I've got a date with Peter.
She says, when I was little playing with my Barbie dolls, Peter is the guy I saw myself with. I took this to mean that like Ken, he has no genitals.
Penis. Yeah. It's just, you picture it all smooth.
Yeah, all smooth down there. Just the underwear with nothing underneath. Underwear that never comes off. Countering that.
No, that's too loud.
Okay, well, that might be the problem. Maybe I'm a little too close. Jack is going to leave another review that I am too loud and you're too soft.
Yeah.
It's like we need Baby Bear to come in here and do the exact right volume. What a pair we are.
I don't think it's Baby Bear that gets the
everything
middle?
Is perfect for Baby Bears. Baby Bear's
bed. Because Mama's was too soft?
Too soft, and Baby Bear's is just right. His porridge is just right. You gotta do everything right for the kids. Fucking kids get
Fake
everything
news.
Right.
Fake news.
Dad and Mom are sleeping in uncomfortable beds, and the baby's like, oh, I love this.
That Dad Bear might want to check out a Japanese mattress.
Yeah, nothing wrong with a Japanese mattress. We should get a sponsorship from the Japanese mattress company that makes the mattress that I sleep on every night, because it's very cozy.
Hashtag our marriage is healthy.
Yeah. All right, so what do we got? Oh, so countering the idea that Peter has no genitals, he has condoms just sitting around in his car.
Is that normal to just have condoms in your like glove compartment?
Just at the ready. Yeah, hey baby, hold on.
I know, I mean, I don't want to say that that would be like a red flag for me, but I would be like, what the fuck, dude? Like, I wouldn't be at all concerned if it was his bedside table. But like, really?
Maybe he likes to do it on the road. Just can't pull over to a drugstore. It really ruins the moment. You got to be ready to go when he goes to those whorehouses in Westlake.
Because Peter says he has a surprise that he thinks she's going to like, and it's Roadhead. He's like, Hannah, have you ever done this?
Yeah, I'm going to take you on an amazing flight.
It's actually
in
not.
In my pants.
So, this airplane's called the White Lightning. Oh, that's too much?
No, no, you got me. Okay. Right where, no, not just right, just right.
That's what Peter said, too.
I mean, fantasy suites are coming up, so you know it's going to get real dirty next week. So let's get people kind of prepped now so your mom doesn't clutch her pearls next week.
I mean, between your white sauce joke and Peter rolling around with condoms in his car.
Right, just filthy. You know who's very offended by it? Luke P. We actually are going to play a trailer over and over and over again of Luke P. finding this all very offensive.
All right, can we move forward with the metaphor?
Yes.
They are flying an airplane.
Okay.
And Peter says, I'm obviously looking for a co-pilot in life.
Huh?
You know what? Is that like a pilot thing? Like, I feel like Peter could be on Wings.
Oh, yeah. Like, he could be a Hackett.
Yeah.
Yeah. He has that look about him. Well, you've got to be clean cut, I think, to be a pilot.
Do you?
I think so. I think they have some regulations on your
facial hair length. Interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, he could be the lost, like, the younger Hackett brother.
I like it.
Yeah. And
spinoff.
Ooh, I love it. And I would love to see Wings back again, only if to get Tony Shalhoub back
Ryan
in action.
Loves Wings. But
I love
really
Wings.
Loves Tony
yeah,
Shalhoub.
Both of those things.
Okay, they are taking a plane out. Peter also says, today's an amazing opportunity for our relationship to soar to the next level. Cool it, bud. We all understand how metaphors work.
I don't get it. Peter can see his house from his plane, and his parents are waving as he flies overhead.
They take off, and there's uplifting music playing, according to our closed caption.
Peter's dad's mustache kind of... you know, rifles in the wind a little bit.
We'll get to the mustache.
Yeah, the big surprise was a mustache ride from Peter's dad.
The big surprise is that they crashed, just like John Denver.
Yeah, a little sort of takes a John F. Kennedy Jr. direction.
Oh, hey, is that too soon with that coal miner billionaire that just died?
I don't think anybody knows about that.
All right.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's... I don't think it's too soon.
All right. Hashtag too soon. Question. Is John Denver his real name, or was that just,
good question. Like, Elton John.
The name or the love of the Rocky Mountains?
John Denver real name is... Henry John Deutschendorf Jr., yeah, no wonder you changed that.
Yeah, I can see why you changed it. But
yeah.
Deutschendorf.
I love that album, Henry John Deutschendorf Jr. Meets the Muppets.
You know that Henry John Deutschendorf song, You Fill Up My Senses?
Man, that Henry John Deutschendorf was full of shit.
I love John
Denver. No, that's Dumb and Dumber.
Expected the Rocky Mountains to be a little rockier than this.
I was thinking the same thing. That John Denver's full of shit, man.
I don't know the line.
All right.
I don't know it.
It's an American classic.
I feel like this is a good segue into that blessing that they give.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's loud and it's German, just like Henry John Deutschendorf.
That's actually what they said in German.
Yeah.
So what's going on with Peter's family? It appears that they have a Spanish
influence. Wait, I want to say, can we rewind back to the date real quick? Rewind. Hamilton reference. One of our reviewers said that she loved the Hamilton references.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Hannah's nose gets really red again on the flight.
Oh, yeah. She kind of took the same strategy as we did to bring the energy to the date.
We've seen the movie Flight.
Right.
We know how much cocaine
we know what happens in the bathroom of the airplane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Also, they make out while Peter's supposed to be flying the plane.
That's why they crash and die. It's the last thing. I'll take you to high heights before we'll go to terrible depths.
What's that?
That's me. That's my catchphrase.
That's what you would do if you were on Jed's date and he made you write a song.
We're all gonna die. Life is short. Is that too close to the mic?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Can someone please write a review telling Ryan to back up
Can
off
someone
the
please
mic?
Write a review telling me to get closer
am
to the mic?
Am I wrong here? Like, am I the one who should be closer?
Get all up in the mic?
I don't care to.
Jack204 said to get closer to the mic. So, speaking of things you need to get, or you would like to get closer to, when you saw Peter's little brother, Jack, you said, whoa, he is cute.
Because Ryan was like, oh, you're going to want to see this. Get in here, because I was fixing myself some trail mix.
Yeah, I did call you in so you could see the brother. It's like you didn't believe me that he was going
to
be cute.
I needed some trail mix to get through the episode.
Yeah, some protein to carry you through.
I did think that his brother was cute, but then I saw the dad, and I was like, Auga.
Really? With the stash?
Really?
Yeah.
Yes. That's like right in my wheelhouse.
A mustache like that? Okay, good to know.
Yeah,
hey.
His like shirt halfway buttoned down with the like cross, and he's
did see you make the cartoon wolf face. Yeah, and your heart popped out of your chest.
I can't
believe
that you're
mask.
Surprised by this.
Everything about it makes sense to me. I just didn't know you were such a mustache fan.
I mean, I'm not a mustache. Yeah. You know that Tom Selleck is like number one on my list.
No, I didn't, because everyone
it's
is number one on your list.
It's a rotating position. Yeah. Oh, it's a rotating position.
I bet it is, baby.
No, I thought he was really cute.
All right, well, he's a great guy.
Well, I thought he looked like someone from Boogie Nights.
Yeah, which is also a big turn on.
But that was mostly the big dick.
Sorry, Peter, I left my condom in your car. I know you don't have a dick, so I left it there to taunt you.
I know you're a Kindle, but it's not genetic. All right, they speak Spanish first of all, but then they do the super loud German blessing.
Yeah.
I was hoping that as someone who lived in Heidelberg for a year, you might be able to
decode this, to translate
this.
None at all. None whatsoever.
Can
I know nothing.
Can you speak any German?
Nine. No, not really.
How do you say no, not really?
You could say ein bisschen if you wanted to say a little.
Ambition.
Ein bisschen, a little.
Oh.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
So what they say is, happy is the mealtime feast. Happy, 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 let's eat. Do a German accent. I can't do it. Deutschland. Is that German?
Mach schnell!
Yeah.
Go quickly.
That, like,
yeah.
Is that a Hitler? Like...
No, it's a German accent.
That's just how they all talk.
Yeah, that's how they all talk.
Everything is angry.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything does sound angry in German. Even that happy festive blessing sounded very angry and threatening.
Well, I tell you what, at Peter's house, everything is sad because they all are a bunch of crybabies.
Oh, Dad, how did that affect your attraction to
attraction
the father.
Attraction
is the word I'm
looking for.
Yes. Found it. Nailed it.
To the father?
Yeah. After he cries. You're good with that,
so
right?
So Peter cries when he is giving a toast. The brother cries. It's kind of like when someone throws up and then you throw up. Because once Peter starts crying, like the floodgates open. Mm-hmm. And then Hannah and the mom are talking. And Hannah tells the mom that she thinks it could be them at the end. And his mom just starts like sobbing, and she's like, "I'm just very emotional right now." Oh, I did feel bad for the. I thought his family seemed super sweet.
They were a nice family, and I don't think they came off bad at all. Everybody cried, but everybody ended up looking
good. Peter is sitting outside with the dad, and I felt like the dad starts off like super cool.
Yeah,
he's like, "Sounds like it's been a hell of a ride so far."
You getting her pants yet?
Well, that was kind of what I expected. Yeah. In my notes, I have wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And then all of a sudden, he just also
starts
like
bawling,
sobbing.
Tears falling into his mustache, getting caught there. Oh, you're the reason for the tears in my mustache. That was my favorite Taylor Swift song.
spoiler alert, Taylor Swift wrote me about Jed. You know, she's always writing songs about people.
About people she's dated. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. They're secretly dating.
Okay. Peter doesn't say I love you, I thought in hometowns is usually the biggest mistake you can make. Because you know somebody else is breaking out the big guns.
Yeah, somebody else broke out the big guns.
Well,
like day
Luke
one.
Did it first week.
Yeah.
But I do think that hometown, historically, Robin, casting back to the facts and statistics that Robin has provided us with this whole season, mm-hmm. Profa, you've just been on vacation, I guess.
Right, yeah, Profa doesn't work during the summer, apparently. Off drinking mimosas somewhere.
With Harrison. I think that hometowns is where you start to see it matter. Like, up to that point, I don't think it matters that much. And then hometown is, you're supposed to really be able to buckle down and say it. And we've definitely seen seasons where people have gotten cut just because they weren't there yet. Mm-hmm.
Because, or maybe their I love you was a little too tepid.
In fact,
I'm thinking about
cast
the possibility.
Your mind back to a little guy called Colton. Remember, that's what happened to him, because she was like, I just don't think you're there yet, because the other guys had all stepped up and
had all said it, and he was out, because he was still in love with Tia at that point, who is now hawking Protein One bars.
And on the commercial break.
Yeah, on the commercial break. All right. I'm glad to see somebody making a career out of this thing, because it's not going to be Jed's music that goes far. All right, can we hop on to Tyler C.?
Did you set that up for me?
Yeah, I sure did. That was a big, fat softball to you.
Let's ride.
So they go and start applying sunscreen to one another. And she says, you can put it anywhere.
Getting hot for this time.
I know. Woo!
Having a fan myself.
Yeah.
Tyler lives in Jupiter, Florida. He is hot. That's all I know about him.
Yeah. Here's my notes. He's hot.
My notes are just the 100 emoticon and a flame and another flame and an eggplant and a peach.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's a nice note. That's really all we need to say. Hannah says, there's no doubt there's some sexual attraction between Tyler and I think he's super hot. She kind of stutters,
you
like you. Yeah.
All of America.
Yeah.
What? I mean, I know. I love him.
Yes, I know. I'm well aware. Yeah, well aware.
I picture his face when we make love
now. Well, I could get a Tyler C. mask. Do they sell those?
I feel like I should think that that's creepy, but totally willing
No,
to
you
give
would
it
love
a,
that.
I'm going to give it a try.
Also, if I would get like a Tyler C. abs set, too, because I think that that's as crucial as anything else. And I could I'll have to work on the voice.
Like, and a Tyler C. strap on.
Sure. Yeah, right. They make
just
those.
The whole thing. Just
that's actually the merch that we're going to start selling. Peter-themed condoms and a Tyler C. strap on.
I like the idea of being able to like pick your bachelor. Which dick do you want?
Yeah. It could be like in Neighbors when they make the dildos from 3D printing.
Yeah. We should tweet at some of these guys and see if they're down.
How much do you... We get a little business proposition for you.
What are you willing to bet that Luke's penis is pretty damn small?
Small as he is. Mm. Yeah. It's tiny, the equivalent of a 5'8 villain.
Tiny little man.
Well, I mean, he was chasing sex in college, so, you know.
I love how... I mean, I know we're... We don't have to, we can come back to this, but since you brought it up, I love how he has to preface his God story always with that.
Yeah.
So I was fucking a whole lot.
Yeah.
Like all the time.
Yeah. I was fucking so much. It was like, I was totally ensnared in sin.
You guys have never boned as much as I was boned.
Nobody's boned as much as me. Those first 2 weeks in college. Amazing. All right, we'll get back to that.
Yeah, we'll get to it.
So it's Tyler C's little slice of paradise.
I know. It did look really nice.
Yeah, it looked nice.
I own a boat. My family lost this one mansion in the recession, but here's our other really nice house.
No, he drives by the house that they lost in the recession. Thanks, W.
Thanks, Obama.
It's Obama's fault, retroactively. The McMansion they
lost.
Show
us your birth certificate.
Tyler tells Hannah, you're going to meet my dad, you're going to meet my mom, you're going to meet my crew.
I liked that. I like the idea of him having a crew.
You know,
I feel
somebody
like
Tyler has a crew.
I'm just picturing, like, I don't know, a middle school, like boy group.
Well, we talked about that. I mean, how he's sort of like a, you know, Shark or Jet type figure. Yeah. You know, like he has a crew to run with. Yes,
that's true. We did talk about
They're
that.
They're called the Salmon Jacket Crew. Everyone wears a salmon jacket.
They go by a lighthouse, and Hannah says, "Isn't that for when sailors go out to sea, for them to know when to come back to?"
No, like, Hannah. Yeah.
How do you even...
Right. You don't know what a lighthouse is, Hannah? Yeah.
Like...
What is this strange, new, futuristic contraption?
Oh, I feel like you slipped into your Tia there. It's a,
yeah,
it's
I did.
A small difference. It
is,
but
yeah, but it important.
Is, it is different. Wiener, yeah. Arkansas has a very different accent than
yeah,
Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, I did slip into my Tia there.
Get it right.
Yeah. They're talking a little later. Some rock music starts playing, and Tyler says, "Wanna go jam?"
Yeah, and then I do.
Some 90s ska band is on stage. I think, was it the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones or Real Big Fish?
I said it was the band that Heath Ledger's character hires to play for Kat in 10 Things I Hate About You.
They're still out there working. They moved from Seattle to Florida because it's so gray in Seattle. They were getting so tired all the time.
And you know what? I got to say, regarding Tyler's crew, joke's on all y'all, because actually a few members of the Crips were there at the hometown day.
They wear chartreuse instead of salmon. There's a real turf rivalry.
When they were driving home, they did that headlights test, and someone was murdered. I can joke about that because it's a total urban legend.
Right, never
I don't think
happened.
There's ever a single account of that actually happening.
Never happened.
Except in the movie Urban Legend.
What I can joke about is Hannah getting on stage and playing air guitar.
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the hometown dates got me a little bit back on the Hannah train.
Yeah.
I do like it that she's willing to make a fool of herself. Like, sure. I don't think that she likes to dance, but she got up on stage.
On stage, yeah.
I don't think that she has a very good voice, but when Jed selfishly was like, "We're going to write a song and record
yeah,
it together.
I'm going to bring you into my world.
Oh, gosh, this seems like a date that Hannah would
yeah,
like.
This sounds like something she's going to love.
Way to be totally...
Making love on the cobblestones.
And we'll get to it. But my point is, Hannah was just like, "I love it. This is so cool." Mm-hmm. I think that she has a good attitude.
She's game. Well, she is. I mean, this is what men and women always purportedly want from their contestants, is someone who's down for anything.
Yeah.
And she does genuinely seem to be
apparently
down for anything.
Apparently, she's down for anything.
Fucking in a windmill.
Fucking in a windmill.
Bungee jumping naked. I mean, whatever it is.
I like it.
How about her and Tyler C doing the dirty dancing move?
Oh, did they?
Yeah, she jumps off the stage. How did you miss? I feel like that would have been, you know, you would have needed a moment.
You're picking at your feet.
Always. That's you get me in my zone. We're talking about Tyler C doing the... Isn't that sexy, like Tyler C doing the dirty dancing?
No, Tyler C would not pick at his feet.
You don't know that.
If we did a podcast.
You don't know that.
No, I do know.
He has flaws, too.
He's
only mortal.
He doesn't.
He's only human.
He's a god.
Well,
he's my God.
He came to you in the shower.
I pray to heaven that he's my God.
And the world opened up and I saw paradise when he came to me in the shower.
I actually saw the Holy Spirit in the shower myself. And the Holy Spirit said, "Girl, you meant to be with Tyler C."
All right. So Tyler starts crying, talking about his dad. And he says, "Something's going on with my eye."
Oh, yeah. I didn't... Man, was I getting more trail mix?
Probably, yeah. I'm surprised you missed a second
missed,
of Tyler C's
I mean,
date.
I caught him crying and saying that it was especially hard because he doesn't exactly know what kind of shape his dad is in.
Yeah.
It sounds like he kind of hit the road to go
right,
do his bachelor
right.
stuff.
At his dad's behest. Mm-hmm. His dad told him to. Yeah.
That actually was one of the things that I... So can we move forward
yeah,
to his
yeah.
family time?
Let's do it.
Because when they get to meet his family, I actually liked how his dad was like, "So, how's this all going down?" Because his dad still has vocal issues because of his coma.
Mm-hmm.
It's like vocal cord issues. But he asked him about the show, but that Tyler immediately was like, "How are you?"
Yeah,
you know?
Right. So, and you can tell that he really loves his dad and was really concerned about him, so... And they won't give Tyler a cell phone to call his dad to see how he's doing. They will give Luke a cell phone to hold up the definition of what was that, like two-faced psychopath. Yeah, right. This isn't that me. That you can get a cell phone for.
This is Zac Efron as Ted Bundy. Also on my list.
As Ted Bundy specifically? Or just, we'll take Efron however you can get him.
I will not take Efron in High School Musical. That is my friend Rachel's territory.
Yeah. Shout out to Rachel.
Yeah, classy. Yeah. You're welcome, girl. But Efron, pretty much in anything. Definitely yeah. Efron and Neighbors.
Sure. Show. Anything post, like, 2006, Efron. Anything
legal?
Yeah, yeah. Let's be clear on this. Yeah. Okay. So let's see, where are we with this?
Checking in with his brothers, mm-hmm. who I guess that's also his crew.
Yeah, some of his crew.
You're gonna meet my crew. Doo-doo-doo. Doo-doo-doo. I need to whistle to do that.
Yeah, we need to get our daughter in here, the only member of our family that can whistle.
What's
that
timestamp?
29.
Thank you.
I'm glad MJ was complaining about the typing earlier, but now we just have to talk to each other about what the timestamp is.
When you're a jet, all the way from your first cigarette to your last dying day. When you're a jet, let them do what they can. You've got brothers around, you're a family man.
When you're a jet all the way.
From your first cigarette to your last dying day.
You're never alone. We've already sung this.
I know, but
it was last time in reference to time.
Yeah, but I'd like to find a reason to shove Officer Krupke in here a little bit later.
Yeah. I don't think they've ever had a police officer on the show.
Have they not?
As a contestant.
I thought they had. I thought someone came in a cop car one time.
Well, that I believe, but yeah. I don't think it was a contestant.
I came straight from jail. You were my one phone call. That's their getting out of the limo speech.
All okay. Right. Yeah, so she's asking his brothers if they think he could get engaged. They tell her basically that Tyler C was a total rock, that he was as much of a rock as his abs.
Mm-hmm. Was that your?
That was my interpretation.
Yeah.
That when you can his tell dad that's got what they sick, meant. that's who everybody leaned on. That he really took care of the family business, and that basically he grew up a whole lot in that period, and that yes, he is ready for marriage.
Yep. He sure is. So at the end of the evening, she gets in the car. He gets in the car to kiss her, say goodbye.
He says, I think I'm supposed to leave you here, but I'm not. Yeah. And then he climbs into the car, and surprise, surprise, Hannah straddles him. Like, mix it up a little.
Yeah, I know. Right? At least do something a little bit different.
Like, sometimes just lay back. Yeah.
Try some different moves.
And yeah, that's it.
All right. So Luke P. So she says of Luke P, we've had our ups and downs for sure. What are the ups? Did I miss the ups in their relationship? I guess the early shirtless makeout sesh.
I guess. Luke saying I love you in the first week, but really, was right. that an up? I don't know.
Do you feel, she says he's complex. Do you feel no, like he's,
yeah. I have in my notes her quote, which is, Luke is definitely complex. And then I just have, really?
Yeah.
Is he or is he just a dick?
Right. Is it that you want him to be complex so you can justify his dickish behavior?
I hate that. Yeah. That is like a personal pet peeve of mine, perhaps because I have been of that school of thought before, where you're like, oh, this person is so complicated. Nope, they're just an asshole. Right. And I get it. Like, Hannah's 23? Round about the times that I fell prey to that as well. Mm-hmm. But girl, grow out of it, because he's not complex.
Right. Well, you also, like, you see why that happens when, say, there's one guy that you have your eye on, but she's got so many men to choose from.
Right.
Like, yeah. Poor Jed.
Tyler's complex. How are you that hot and also nice?
Right.
That's complexity.
Yeah, that actually is complexity. And like, also, anyone that's that a dance attractive major.
Should just be a dick.
Right, all the time, and could get away with it. Yeah.
On the other hand, Luke is, of course, from Gainesville, Georgia. No offense to any of our... Do we have
two.
Any Gaines? Two, sorry. We no
just,
offense.
We just shouted them out
no
earlier.
No offense to you guys.
Who are wonderful human beings.
He's wearing a Canadian tuxedo when he picks her up.
Yeah.
And he takes her to Sunday school. That's not complexity.
That they call it Sunday school. Like, that's for children.
Well, I don't even know how to describe what I mean with this note, but all I will say is that that group at Luke's Sunday school was exactly who I expected to see.
Yes, that I actually felt exactly the same way.
Like it's not even a looks thing. I mean, some of it is, I guess, just the whole dynamic, the way every single person looked, their comment, like the different combinations of people. It was just, I was like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's way to it. Be a stereotype. Luke's Sunday school. Yeah. So Luke decides that he's going to share his story.
And which was like, did anybody ask? I feel like.
Right. Guys, let me take the mic for a minute. There's some cameras like here. They're not for you, Pastor Bob.
Yeah. Say something small and then they're like, I feel like it's like in Mean Girls where Lindsay Lohan starts to give her speech right. And Tim Meadows is like, a speech really isn't expected.
Well, and come on, you think there's a single person in that room who hasn't heard that fucking shower story 50 times already? Oh, God came to you in the shower.
So he says, I've realized how powerful it is to share your struggles. I was entangled and caught up in sin of all kinds.
Of all kinds. Bestiality, pride.
Beer, wine, heroin.
Taking the Lord's name in vain. Coveting my neighbor's wife.
Let my hair grow too long.
Sitting in a chair that a menstruating woman has sat in.
Yeah, I'm just going to let you run with this because you know all the good
sins. Yeah, all the good sins. Yeah, wearing mixed fibers, eating shellfish.
He was wearing mixed fibers that day. He was wearing a black t-shirt under his jean jacket.
And the Lord saw his jean jacket and smote him. Luke, I told you not to wear shit like that anymore. We talked about this in the shower. When I said let go, I meant of your jean jacket.
So he says, the Holy Spirit coming to me and convicting me is what made me the guy I am today. Thanks a fucking lot, God.
Yeah, thanks, Holy Spirit. We really appreciate it.
So, always, side note, religious side note.
Okay, yeah, we're good at those.
Like, Jesus and God are different.
This is the mystery of the Trinity. They're three in one.
Who is this Holy Spirit?
He's the third of the Trinity, the spirit that descends upon Paul and his crew in the book of Acts. And his crew, yeah. Here comes the Holy Spirit. We're talking in tongues.
Gee, Holy Spirit, we're awfully ashamed. I just don't get it. Like, does the Holy Spirit show up a lot in the Bible?
No. The Holy Spirit is a pretty low-key character.
Is that like if you went to a church where people spoke in tongues, that's the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
But if you just go to like an Episcopalian church, I feel like is the Holy Spirit just like fucked because he doesn't really
as far as I understand it, they really downplay. Like, my church always downplayed that.
Well, sure, because y'all aren't even allowed to listen to music.
Right, yeah, you can't have the Holy Spirit coming in, getting you all revved up.
I feel
up.
Like the Holy Spirit gets, like, people riled
up.
Yeah,
yeah.
Getting into this
The Holy
shower,
Spirit is like. The fun one. The fun one of the group.
All right, I still don't get it. You've shed zero light.
No, I cannot shed any light
like
on it.
It's ridiculous. It's almost like it makes no sense.
Katie's
at all.
Little sister is going to get mad again.
Molly, we love you.
Yeah,
we
love
coming
our.
Coming to your wedding.
We love our religious listeners.
We're going to be there to MC the whole thing
and
from the parking lot.
Somebody can send us a good note explaining the Holy Spirit. That was some theology.
Yeah, could one of our conservative Christian listeners please?
Yeah, give us a shout out.
Yeah.
Okay, let's
Educate
move
us.
Along.
Educate us. Convict us.
So the group gathers around Luke and puts their hands on them to pray for him. And actually, the fun thing, you know, we watch in closed captioning, and in the closed captioning, you could see what they were praying, and it was, "Dear Lord, please let Luke stop being such a douchebag."
Well, you know
Dear
what you
God.
Didn't see in that prayer?
What?
Because the group was closed in too close.
What?
But when they did that, Luke actually spewed up a bunch of green pea soup.
Your mother's cocks in hell.
your mother sucks cocks in hell, Karis.
It actually makes sense. Luke has been possessed by the devil this whole
time. That's why he has been acting so strangely.
Because they're like, that's not Luke. Like, Luke is such a great guy. He's the best. And Hannah's like, really? Because he kind of seems like a dick to me.
This makes all kinds of sense. We need an exorcism. Need an exorcism for Luke P.
Thanks a lot, Satan.
Yeah.
You took a perfectly nice guy and ruined him on this national television.
Way to ruin things. Get behind Luke, Satan.
Not today, Satan. Not today. All right. Hannah says it was a nice change to see people rallying around him and supporting him. All right, devil's advocate.
Ooh.
Appropriate.
Yeah, fits.
What do you think about the theory that Luke has been edited / prompted to act in a certain way by producers? And I'm not saying that he doesn't have his faults, but that maybe think about how we saw Crystal on Ari's season of The Bachelor versus Bachelor in Paradise, where she was... I'm not going to say delightful, but...
Fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm always willing to believe that somebody got a bad edit, and also that just this environment is going to bring out parts of you that you don't like, or, you know, parts of you that normally remain hidden.
And you see that in different ways. Like, I feel like some contestants shut down, and that that's a problem, too, but it just leads to them, like... usually to them being cut early on or something.
Right. Well, here's the other thing is it seems like some of Luke's biggest faults based on the show are that he's like duplicitous and he'll say things behind your back. So these people may not know that he's a jerk. You know, like that's the other thing. Like,
or I feel like maybe you don't know. It's one of my favorite lines from an André Dubuis short story.
Oh, look at this. Yeah, great.
Guys, put your classical music on.
Boom.
It's about to get classy.
Okay.
The short story is called The Fat Girl, and it's about this. The protagonist, like, is overweight, and she loses weight over the course of the story. She gets married, she has a baby, and she gains the weight back, and so her husband is this, like, terrible character.
Mm-hmm.
His name's Richard. And at the end of the story, she says, I never knew how mean you were. I bet you didn't either.
Yeah.
And I feel like maybe Luke P has never been put in a situation, at least post Sunday school, where any of these like virtuous, in quotes, qualities have been tested.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
He's not being challenged.
Yeah.
So of course it's easy to be like the super friendly guy when you're at church group.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's an excellent use of literature. I will see your quote and I'll raise you a Mark Twain quote.
Of course you do.
Yeah. All right, never mind.
No, no, okay. Go.
I will
raise me. Please, I love this. Please, like, top me.
Yeah, no, I'm not, I said that wrong. I shouldn't say, I'm going to compliment your excellent literary analogy with a Mark Twain quote that the weakest of all weak things is a virtue untested by the fire.
Okay.
Okay.
Do you want to give a little commentary?
No, that's it. No. Just the same thing.
You're just going to give your...
The same thing that you're saying, which is...
Just because I offer like, some, to like, say, literary commentary.
You did a nice job. That was a very good exposition on the story. It's what you're saying, which is like, well, it's easy to say that you're a really nice guy when it's easy to be a nice guy.
Yes.
Yeah. When you're actually put to the test.
What quote is that where someone says, I'm not a nice guy? What is that?
That's Ross, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. You're right. It is Ross.
Yeah, when he's playing poker. We've used that clip. We have that clip somewhere in the archives.
So if you're going to play poker with me, don't expect me to be a nice guy. Okay? Because once those cards are dealt...
Yeah?
I'm not a nice guy.
Anyway, I like that Twain quote.
And I liked your story. That was awesome.
Oh, yeah. Fuck you.
It was great. No, I like we're classing it up.
Do you want to maybe work on removing a little bit of that patronizing tone?
No. Okay. Not at all. I'm sort of a Luke P type in the end. We've already gone over the similarities between us.
I would love, just like it'll never happen, but experimentally, I would love to see how we both
would perform
play out in like, yeah, yeah,
on this show. I think that I would just shut down. Well, that exactly.
I would shut down
and I would be gone the first night.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, I mean, I would never.
I would too, but it would just be because I don't have like the physical attraction.
No, you're sexy enough to stay on this show.
I think if I got drunk enough, I could be like charming in the first episode, but then I would get cut because I'd be like, there's an Andre Dubuque short story that I love.
Well, it depends on who the Bachelor is. The Bachelor is not, let's face it, the Bachelor, unless it's Tyler C., is not going to be good enough for you, baby.
I have a feeling that I think if Tyler C. is the Bachelor, I might just audition.
Well, they're having an event in Nashville coming up, baby.
It's, they're always looking for, like, unconventional contests.
I'm married, yeah. How are you
I'm
interested
married, I'm
36, in, yeah,
I have two kids.
Joining an open marriage.
But I really feel like you're the one.
Yeah.
Oh,
I've been podcasting about you for an entire season.
Should we get back to this?
I guess so.
All right, they meet his family. I wrote in my notes that it was hard to gauge what his family's reaction was because Hannah doesn't really hold back.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, Luke was terrible.
Yeah.
And I called him on it. And I felt like some of them were like, oh, thank God. Like,
yeah,
our long national nightmare is over. Like, Luke is being called out
right
on his shit.
That's the other thing, is maybe people just aren't telling him that he's a terrible person.
But I felt like his parents were like, who is this bitch coming up in here? Like,
yeah,
excuse me, do you see that this is our son?
Yeah.
You know?
I will say, so they like unfold the drama of their relationship up to this point. And in my notes, I have like, why is he still on this show?
And then Hannah, somebody, even Hannah was, so, and they were like, so why are you here?
Yeah.
And she was like, I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, God. Come on, Hannah. Hannah, get it together. Well, I know why. Because for the past week and a half, their relationship has really been on track.
Like everything that they say, like at the end of it, she was like, hey, we had a good day all day. That's like a big deal.
I feel like that's something we would say to like our kid.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we had a good day with you
or
today.
Like, 5 years in where we're like, fuck this shit. I feel like then it's good to be like, okay, this was a good day. Like,
right,
I understand what she means. I just don't think that you should make that comment that early on in what, by all accounts, is like a charmed dating existence.
Sure.
Like, I could even understand if you're just dating in real life, it being a little bit of a struggle from the get-go.
Yeah.
But
if you have men throwing themselves at you, and this is the best that you could do.
It's just like, if it's this hard this early on, what do you think it's going to be like? I don't know. But.
Devil's advocate.
Here comes the flip side where I'm like, well, I could see how some couples would really struggle with the reality show version, and then maybe would actually do better. Like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't have the answer.
I don't have any answers.
Yeah. Episode. I'm confused.
You know, it's a jigsaw puzzle. You have the corners, but you don't have the middle.
It's hard.
It is hard.
You always work the edges first.
Yeah, she is right on her puzzle strategy. You got to start with the corners, so that's a good move.
It's just certain things on this family date annoyed me.
Okay.
So Luke said, she continually proves to me that she's worth it. Is that a dick thing?
Yeah.
Like, now I kind of wonder, am I like, do I just think that everything that comes out of his mouth is dickish because I don't like him?
Right.
But I feel like, why is she having to prove that she's worth it to you?
Even to say something like, every time I get together with her, I know that it's worth it, is a different way to say the same thing.
Yeah, the word choice that I dislike there is
proof. Yeah.
Like, she doesn't have to prove anything to you. And then the dad echoes that, and you could see, like, I felt like I got insight on, as they always say, like, why is Luke Luke?
Yeah. Who made Luke Luke?
Well, this dick did, because he's like, if she's worth it to you, that means she's worth you.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means. And then he says, wow, Luke, I would thank the Lord first.
Yeah, because her heart is softened to you.
Technically, it's the Holy Spirit, so go fuck yourself.
Yeah, thank the right part
Holy
of the
Spirit
Trinity.
The Holy Spirit is like, what the fuck?
Yeah, come on.
I'm right here.
I'm the one that softened her heart. Come on. All right.
Yeah, and softened her heart and hardened his dick. Am I right?
Not next week, if the previews would like to be believed.
I would like that to be a facet of religions, that of these like Christian religions that are really high on the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
That whenever you have an erection, it's the Holy Spirit, moving
within you. That doesn't
seem like a dangerous thing at all.
I imagine there are facets, maybe even more like cultish facets of Christianity where that sort of like sexuality comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. He says he's in love with her. She says she's falling in love with him. And that's a big deal. This is the first time that we've gotten Hannah saying it about a contestant.
What about Jed?
I don't think that she said it to... I don't think she has said it about him.
No, she said it because the mom was like, do you say that to everybody?
Yes. But she said this first.
She said that day, earlier in the day. Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's right.
No, she said it 2 weeks later.
I couldn't remember if it was like Jed's the last. Day, I didn't remember where it happened.
In this episode that we just watched
an hour ago. Okay that's
this,
it. Yeah.
Is this a joke right now?
It's not a joke, sadly, no.
Go to the bathroom, do some more cocaine, collect yourself.
All right, I'm going to get pumped to get us through. All right, do you have anything else to say about Luke's date?
Not a thing.
Okay.
All right, Hannah says, it's been a hot minute since Jed and I had a date, but he always has something in his pocket for me.
I bet it's going to be music related.
I like the idea of it being like beef jerky. Like, what is Jed
Here's
have
some
in
Skittles.
His pocket
yeah.
for you? Do you want this gummy bear? It's soft because it's been in my pocket.
It's a little melty, but it's still good. He was really excited to be back home again because this is where his girlfriend lives.
I know that we have Nashville listeners, so at the risk of alienating ourselves...
You already alienated our Seattle listeners and our Gainesville listeners.
I am like Daenerys, casting a wide
just
flame.
Just burn them all!
The United States. Let's just burn it and start again.
Yeah.
I think that people from Nashville are douchey. I think that...
Well, great. Bye, nine Nashville listeners.
Listeners, hang on. Don't hang up. I think that whenever we get a guy from Nashville, with the exception of Wells, because I do like Wells.
Yeah.
The guys are typically douches.
Okay.
They are. Because they're all obsessed with their music. They think they're hot shit. They're like wearing tight jeans. Is Nick Viall, was he I feel like, God, that guy
I
should
he was
be
from
California.
Nashville.
Yeah, I mean.
I don't remember. Robin?
Know. No, I think maybe he was from like Minnesota.
Oh, that, well, with Becca, I mean, Jesus. We
well,
need to
his
remember
girl
this stuff.
Was from Canada. Nick Viall, hometown.
Hometown, let's Good. See, come on. Remember this?
So, yeah, I told you.
Yeah.
He's from Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's
close
right.
enough. Yeah. I said Minnesota.
I told you. We got it nailed it like the fourth guess.
You
in.
Said California.
I did say California. No, I was
said
totally wrong.
Minnesota. Yeah,
I was totally wrong.
But you know what I mean? Like, I feel like Nick Viall and Jed, and even I'll say it. I think Wells too. They all fall into this kind of like prototype that ends up being pretty douchey.
Okay. Okay, I'm interested in this theory. I'd like to hear a little bit more.
That's it. Well,
okay.
Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Nashville listeners, are you still with us? You here?
I don't know. Maybe it's because of the rumors that we've heard about Jed. I'm not crazy about it.
What I'll say is I think that the prototype you're talking about is aspiring male country star.
But there's like a hipster vibe in there too.
Yeah,
and that's
right.
where Nashville comes in, because I feel like it's like a certain
aspiring
type.
Hipster country musician
yes,
from Nashville.
Like a little bit prototype. Rockabilly.
A little bit country, a little bit hipster.
A little bit country, a little bit rock and roll.
A little bit alt rock, a little bit Sufjan Stevens.
Throw some Elton John in there and you've got Jed. I don't know. So, I mean, I have an all caps, surprise, surprise, there's music on this date.
Yeah.
Like, maybe try to take an interest in her, Jed, instead of making literally every single date about you and your music.
Right. Well, and this whole date was about his music. I mean, God, The one good thing that would happen if Jed and Hannah end up together is that it might derail his music career.
Yeah.
That's the family's concern, and it's like, yeah, that'd be great. Hannah, will you take a bullet for the country and get with this guy so that it will derail his music?
They are writing a song together. You know what this date is missing?
What?
Can you guess?
It's missing the guy who's the musician whose name I can't remember, who wrote Right Here Waiting.
Richard Marx?
That's it, Right Here Waiting, yes.
If you're going to do a song date, at least invite fucking Richard Marx.
No, Jed doesn't need that.
Even the goose had the good sense to do that. Actually, that date was where the goose totally lost his juice.
But he wrote that song.
He did.
Yeah.
Oh, he might have won that date. Is that...
No, the
goose lost his juice on the political debate date.
That's right. And on the stand-up date or the talent show date? Whatever.
There were so many dates that the goose just really fucked up. All right, but yeah, they're writing a song. I also felt like he was a little bit, I don't know, like kind of dismissive. And so, you know what I'm... Just taking it back to the Nashville thing. You know what I'm imagining this relationship playing out like?
What?
Mandy Moore and Ryan Adams. Because I feel like he is like in love with her right now. Uh-huh. And he's like, I'm going to take you on this date. Like, let's write songs together. And he's like acting like, because it pissed me off that he was acting a little bit surprised by the fact that Hannah was good at songwriting. Mm-hmm. And I get, like, a generous reading would be, well, it's really hard to write songs. But I also felt like there was a little bit of condescension there where he was like, wow, I didn't expect you to be good at this.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
I brought you in here, but I didn't expect you to be good at this. Yeah. I really thought this was going to be my chance to shine.
So I feel like he eventually would turn into that guy that just, like... I don't know. I think he kind of sees Hannah as this, like, pretty dumb
girl. Like a
trophy,
yeah.
And he thinks that he's so smart and so cool. I don't know.
Me, Mr. Right Girl. Would it be a sin to be skin on skin? That's brilliant, Jed. God, what a rock god you are. Yeah.
Hannah says, every girl in, like, their wildest dreams wants a guy to write a song about them. Is that true?
Do you want that? Baby, I'll write a song for you.
You wrote that one song about me.
What was it?
Anna, your booty is so smooth.
This is a great song.
And I hope this isn't rude. Do it together.
But I want to get up on it. Yeah, it's a great song. We recorded it in the studio. We laid down some beats.
Laid down some
tracks. I love he brought a producer in to record this. When are they releasing this song?
Ridiculous.
When's it coming out? Loving on cobblestone streets.
I thought we'd always be together. I was sure our love would last.
Bayside is the school that's cool, and you know that it's true.
Know that is true.
What are the odds that the producers are like, yeah, Jed, we're recording. Go ahead. Yeah, this sounds great.
It sounds amazing.
Yeah, sounds so good. I'm surprised that Paul Giamatti wasn't the producer in there. I feel like he has to play the producer in every music biopic out there. In Love and Mercy. And in Straight Outta Compton. He's music producers in both of those.
Well, he wasn't in Rocket Man, which we just saw, and give two enthusiastic thumbs up.
Yeah. Somebody
Welcome
here
to
loves.
Our movie review podcast.
Somebody here loves Elton John. It's this guy.
And somebody here loves that guy that is from Game of Thrones.
Yeah. And
it's
so does Katie.
Guy.
Yeah, this guy. You can't see, but Anna's pointing her thumb at herself.
Yeah. My friend Katie asked how he was in that movie, and I said, abusive but hot.
Yeah. Yeah, great. It's a great message to send to the listeners.
All right.
Okay.
Jed says, I love you. I can feel it. He says today is going to propel them to a completely new chapter of their relationship.
Yeah. His heart is coming out of his chest because he has something to
literally.
Say. Literally.
Literally.
It actually bursts from his chest.
Girl mess. Which which would be great, except that his bitch sister comes along and is like, I'm a sullen teenager, and I don't want my older brother to be on The Bachelorette.
Yeah, I mean,
I hate you, Hannah.
I'm team sister on this one.
You know who I am?
Who?
Team Tux.
Team Tux. Oh, yeah. Here's a possibility. Tux and Copper. Reality yeah, show about
let's
them.
Do it.
Yeah.
I'm here for that.
Yeah.
All right, Jed says, when they get to the family compound, I'm so glad to be home. Sheesh.
Later he says, toodaloo, when he leaves.
The mom gives a really weird toast about, she says it's about trusting your gut and intuition every day.
Yep.
When you stick to your truth, it's beneficial to everybody.
So that was basically her saying, like, hey, Jed, tell Hannah you have a girlfriend,
and
right?
I feel like they're like, cheers.
Yeah, yay.
Let's raise a glass
to sticking
to your truth.
Yeah,
because
following
it's
intuition. Yeah. Yeah, well, that was still better than Hannah's original Roll Tide toast.
I think knowing them, I agree with you. Like, I felt like the dad was like, yeah, this whole thing just seems a little fast, considering.
Right.
And then Jed's like, yeah, considering my music career? I know, I agree, but I'm in love with her.
Yeah. Also, I love when they're like, Hannah, has he talked to you about his music career? You're damn right he has. It's all he talks about. Yeah. Has he talked about something else?
He told the story about the Holy Spirit in the shower.
Wait, Jed is an aspiring musician.
I've heard a little bit about
his
music.
This is the first I've heard.
Oh, this is brand new information.
Yeah, the mom has a heart to heart with Hannah.
You would call that a heart to heart? Because I feel like the mom was just like, fuck you, bitch.
Well, but I feel like that was her living her truth.
Yes, it's beneficial to everybody.
Yeah.
The dad says, you guys look like you have a heck of a time together. And then, yeah, you're right. I mean, the mom sits down and immediately says, to no credit to Jed, I know Jed's just another guy.
Right.
I like that.
Well, I also love when she was like, you don't get a diploma to be a musician. I know Jed's heard that line before. That's
like
a mom line right there.
Only a few listeners will get this. The mom is definitely OG Scam.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a very select reference. That's a much more veiled reference than the Candace Cameron.
You want me to clear it up a little bit?
Sure.
This mom is an asshole. And part of me watching it like was cringing, but part of me was like, damn, respect Gina.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I totally feel the same way. I liked her.
Hannah says, I've told your son that I'm falling in love with him. And she immediately says, and I'm like, do you say that to all of them?
Yeah, great. Good for you. Her name was Gina.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you, Gina.
She's such a Gina,
yeah,
too.
That was awesome.
She says, I think it's crazy. This feels unrealistic. But then she kind of softens. And she says, all the things we do for love, everybody just taking chances. I think she was on like wine glass number four then.
She's like
getting poetic.
Jed, write that down for one of your songs. Put that in one of your country songs.
I liked it that right after she said to that, they cut to Tux, and he's like, has his eyes real big.
And he's wearing a bandana
he's
at
like,
that point.
Fuck,
yeah,
guys.
What is going on? Oh, Tux.
All right.
You want to get to the rose ceremony? Do we have anything else to say about this?
No. All I have about Jed's sister is that she was a real beat to Hannah.
Yeah.
And that did annoy me with the editing because she kind of confronts Hannah and we don't really get any sort of response or other.
Yeah, there's no follow up at all. She says, him potentially falling in love with you, I'm not sure that's a good thing.
And then it's just like, okay, this was a great date.
Yep. Yeah, wonderful time together.
All right. Rose ceremony.
Rose ceremony.
We're back at the mansion.
Yeah, Harrison says, welcome home.
Welcome home. This will always be your home.
Until that family that we rent it from moves back in next
week. Fuck Tuscaloosa. You live here now.
This is your home now.
She says she's there with all the guys, that she had hoped the hometowns would be illuminating, but instead she's still confused.
Yeah, it's like comparing apples to oranges to kiwi to cantaloupe.
All right, let's break this down.
Yep.
Who is the apple?
Peter.
Who is...
Peter's the apple, I think. Boring, solid, reliable.
All right, who's the orange? Tyler, because he's tropical.
Yeah, from Florida, yeah. And he's a little bit hard to peel, but he's worth it.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing about Jed in terms of him being the Kiwi, like that he's kind of prickly on the outside, but yeah. And Seedy on the inside.
Boom, boom. And I've got it for Luke P. I've got it. He's the cantaloupe because you always think like, oh, I would really like cantaloupe. Yep. And then when you eat it, you're like, oh God, this is terrible. This? Yeah. Like, and then you keep buying cantaloupe. Yes.
And and when you're in the grocery store, you're like, how the fuck do I even figure out if this is good? Like,
do I
smell the bottom of it? Yeah. It's like all messed up and rough on the outside. So then you're just like, well, I guess I'm just going to buy it and hope for the best.
And take a chance. Guess what,
girl? It's fucking rotten.
Yeah.
It's nasty.
It's fucking terrible because like, it's a cantaloupe.
The only thing worse is a honeydew melon. Yeah.
Well, and Luke is also the thing that they shove into fruit salad. Or the cantaloupe is the thing they shove into fruit salad to pad it out. And this Luke is the thing they've shoved into the season to pad it out.
Yes.
Ooh, we nailed this.
Hashtag nailed it. Boom.
Yeah, too bad our Nashville listeners didn't stick around for that.
They're here for it.
Yeah.
If any of you are hipster wannabe, if Ryan Adams is listening to this podcast, go fuck yourself, first of all. And
Bold, yeah.
You're the one who's over here saying, smash the patriarchy.
Ooh. Oh, no, Ryan Adams is a monster.
All right, then there you go. Yeah. I feel solid that one of those 9 Nashville listeners was Ryan Adams.
The others, what else has he got to do these days?
The other two, at least, were Kristen Cavallari and Jay Cutler.
Sure. We're good on that. Them. Yeah, they're still in. Yeah. Here's the thing. I bet you that some of our 9 Nashville listeners are women.
The Nashville Nine.
Here it is. At least one of our 9 Nashville listeners has a story about a guy that fits the archetype.
And so when I was saying that you're talking she's like, about. Fuck yeah,
yeah,
girl.
Yeah, preach, Anna, preach. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we got her.
I don't know who the other 4 or 5 are, but
yeah.
I do want you here.
Taylor Swift.
Naturally.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift's one of her cats. Yeah. Maybe not both of them.
Meredith Grey. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, how many times have I had to read that book to our daughter? And it's such a ridiculous name. A cat with a last name that's not your last name. It's ridiculous, Taylor Swift.
You know who else I hope is our Nashville listener that's on my list? And I don't even...
Yeah, let's hear. Yeah.
Are we getting tired of the list?
No, I want to hear all about who's on your list, baby. Tell me all the men that you want to sleep with that aren't me.
You know what? I'm not going to tell
you.
No,
I want to hear.
It's going to drive you
all right,
insane.
No, here, you get real close to the mic and I'll plug my ears and you just tell the listener and I won't hear.
I don't know his
hear.
Name, but he's the actor in Nashville who was also in The Office.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I love him.
Yeah. What, Duncan was his name
in
Nashville?
Yeah.
And Josh was his name in The Office.
What's his real name?
I don't know.
Yeah, either.
Unfamiliar
we'll
with the gentleman. But
all right, should we get to the roses?
Yeah.
Peter. Okay. Well, I will preface this. How good am I usually at
you are usually 100% on this.
Like I can call it 2 seconds before the person says it. I say it. I'm spot on.
Yeah.
This rose ceremony threw me.
I know. You were uncharacteristically off because it was so unpredictable.
So unpredictable.
We thought that Peter was going home. Peter gets the first rose.
I thought it was going to be between Peter and Jed and that Peter was going to go home.
Yeah.
Instead, yeah, Peter gets the first rose. Tyler gets the next one. At this point in my notes, I just have in all caps, whoa.
Yeah. You were very worried. I mean, there's no way that Tyler C
well,
was going home
Well, I wasn't
home
worried because I knew Tyler wasn't going home. All I care about is getting to the fantasy dates with him.
Yeah, well, you're done. Done.
And
I think that's all Hannah cares about, too.
Hannah walks out in her Keira Knightley atonement cosplay costume.
Excellent. Yeah.
And is having a moment, and Harrison comes up and is like, hey, what just happened? Like, come on, Harrison, step it up a little bit. Can
Harrison,
we expect more from
Harrison
in Paradise?
Harrison's been asleep at the wheel this whole season.
What the fuck? And Hannah is basically like, listen, I really need to fuck all these guys.
Yes. Yeah. Hey, well played, Hannah. Like, let's bump it up to 4 for the fantasy suites.
I know.
Yeah, good for
well,
you. Go
Harrison
get it.
Asks, you want to dive in?
Yes, she does.
To her credit, she says, I'm going to close the door on a relationship that's not done, and I don't want to do that. I want to have clarity every time I make a decision, but I don't have that. I want to really be sure that I get to bone four guys.
Yeah. Hey, well played.
I think maybe the other bachelors knew that she wasn't getting any Luke P.
Oh, right. So she wanted to, yeah.
Any Luke P. D.
Yeah.
So she was like, listen, Luke P. doesn't really count when we get to these fantasy suite dates. So how about I keep Jed around for one more round?
You know, the other bachelors are like, fuck, I could do this. Night. Like, yeah. I could have kept another girl.
How many
can
we keep?
Yeah, 25. Yeah, let's start out with the fantasy suites. I love, too, that the guys are just openly talking shit about Luke in front of him. Yeah. Like, Jed and Tyler and
they're like, you definitely Peter. Got this.
Yeah, they're like, it'll be baloney if you don't get a rose. Oh, when did everybody start using baloney again? Is that coming back?
I think right around when Garrett started wearing it on his face.
So she comes back. Harrison walks in with his arm behind his back. What could be back there?
Well,
what could it be?
Well, she comes back and says, I thought I could just come in and look at you all and know what I was going to do, and I don't know what to do. I'm so confused. Enter Harrison.
Arm behind back. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
she says, I want to continue on with all of you.
Yep. And he says,
I bet you do.
Yeah. Here's the rose you asked for. I love that they just have more back there ready to go.
Sure. Of course.
Yeah. All right. So
Jed mouths, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
So now Jed is pissed because he says it feels degrading to be basically what he calls a toss up between him and Luke P. And he says, so basically, like, I think that Jed feels like he maybe doesn't even want to be there. Which hints at his Nashville male fragility.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Because I feel like I do think that I could see him being like, I don't, almost pulling like a Vanessa with Nick Viall.
Yeah,
do you remember
right.
that?
Uh-huh.
Where she was like, it offends me that you're even considering these other people.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, I mean, to Jed's credit, I get it. I think that...
Sure, we talked about that before. They that usually, him. Usually I'm not down with this argument, but with Luke P, I get it.
Yes.
And also, like, to be the toss-up, like, oh, I couldn't decide between the two of you. Yeah. I think that would be hard to take.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm fine with both of them going at this point, but we'll see what happens
Instead,
next week.
They're both coming.
Ooh, nice. We are getting ready.
Yeah,
no, I know.
Suites.
Yeah, folks, it's going to be even dirtier because we got four, I guess three sexy situations to discuss. So we'll do that next week.
He was born in the summer. Seventh year, coming home to a place he'd never been before. He left yesterday behind him. You might say he was born again. You might say he found the key for every door. When he first came to the mountains, his life was far away. On the road, but the string's already broken, and he doesn't really care. It keeps changing fast, and it don't last for long. With the Colorado Rocky Mountain High, I've seen it rain and fire in the sky. The shadow from the starlight is softer than a lullaby. Rocky Mountain High,
Colorado.
Rocky Mountain High,
Colorado.
He climbed the feeble mountains. He saw silver clouds below. He saw everything as far as you can see. And they say that he got crazy once, and he tried to touch the sun. And he lost a friend but kept a memory. Now he walks in quiet solitude, the forests and the streams, seeking grace in every His side is turned inside himself to try and understand the serenity of a clear blue mountain lake.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.